Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise the Lord. Let's clear the decks first. Now, traditionally, this Sunday after Easter, after all the glory of Easter, is known as Low Sunday. But the Lord told me yesterday He wanted it to be a High Sunday. So we are going to go to the heights of heaven this morning. Is that all right? Listen to this verse from Psalm 17 in the Truth Version. As for me, I shall see you face to face in your righteousness. When I awake in your glory, I shall be like you and will be fully satisfied. That's amazing when you think that that's revelation that David had some 1,000 years or so before Jesus became man, before the cross and the resurrection. But he had this understanding that there are two creations. There is a natural, physical creation, with which, of course, we're all very familiar, the entire universe that God brought into being. But there is also a spiritual creation. And those that just belong to the world, many of them don't even believe that there is a spiritual creation. Because it is spiritual, you can't see it. Now, we as Christians know the reality of this. Heaven is nothing like the earth. Heaven is not a sort of eternal continuation of life here on earth. So you sort of cease your life here when you die, and then you go to be part of something that's very similar, but you're just in the spirit and it goes on forever. It is an entirely different creation. It is entirely different in nature, which is why Jesus says in heaven there's no marriage, there's no giving in marriage or anything like that. It is just entirely different. So we will still have personality. We will still, I'm sure, be able to recognize various people as to who they are, but in an entirely, entirely different way from anything that we know now. Now, God is high and holy. He lives in a high and holy place, the scripture says. But he also lives with the lowly and contrite of heart. He also lives with the humble here on earth. Jesus, of course, left the glory of heaven to become man in order to redeem us. Now that means to make it possible for us to become part of God's spiritual creation for all eternity. When he was talking to the disciples at the Last Supper, just before his crucifixion, he said to them, you should be rejoicing, you shouldn't be sad, you should be glad for me that I'm now going to return to the Father. See, Jesus was the only one ever to be born into the world that came from this spiritual creation into the natural creation. That had never happened before, and it's never happened since. Nobody has come from heaven. Some people have had visions of heaven, experiences of heaven, but nobody has come from heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit that God has sent is a spirit. You cannot see Him. You can know His workings in your life. You can see the evidence of his working in other people, but you can't see him because he is spiritual. Now, what Jesus makes clear as he preaches the gospel of the kingdom, and therefore what the apostles also made clear in their preaching and teaching, is that the life here in the natural creation is a preparation for the spiritual creation. That this life here lasts 70, 80, 90, for an odd few, 100 or so years, but the spiritual creation is for eternity. So, therefore, Jesus says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on earth. On earth, the moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal. But spend your life laying up for yourself treasure in the spiritual creation of which God wants you to be a part for all eternity. This spiritual creation that is totally different. Now, we know that in heaven there is no sin. There is no spiritual darkness, not in the highest heaven where God exists. Sin is, in Scripture, darkness. In God there is no darkness at all. In heaven, we are not expecting there to be any sin. When Lucifer sinned and the third of the angels that followed him in his rebellion against God, immediately they were dismissed from this third heaven, from this highest heaven where God exists. There cannot be anything there that does not glorify and honor Jesus. Everything is light. In him there is no darkness. In this highest heaven where God exists, there is no darkness. Therefore, it was necessary for Jesus to come and take all the darkness of sin, of fear, and everything else that in any way contaminates the people of God. He had to take all that upon himself on the cross in order that his people might be set free from all those things and therefore be brought into a state of holiness where they can go to be with the holy God in the holy heaven. You've been reading these last few days the opening chapters of 1 Corinthians, and there in the first chapter, Paul is saying that you have been sanctified and made holy. And there's this wonderful, wonderful promise that is given just in the eighth verse. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God's purpose, what he has fulfilled through the cross, is to make you totally blameless in God's sight. When you are washed clean of your sin by the blood of Jesus, you are made holy, you are made blameless in the sight of God. That means that you are able to relate to and in a sense already be part of this spiritual creation. So Paul says that you are now seated in heavenly places. Now, in what sense are you seated in heavenly places? God has prepared a place for you in this realm of the Spirit. He makes that clear to the disciples at the Last Supper. But you're not in that place yet. You will have to pass through the judgment before you come to that place. But you are seated in heavenly places in this sense, that God has put you into Christ and he is seated in heavenly places, far above all dominion and rule, all principalities and powers. Every other power, spiritual or temporal, is underneath Jesus' feet. He has been raised above everything, both in the temporal realm and in the spiritual realm. And you are in him, and the one who is in that place is in you. So you are seated in heavenly places in that sense, that you can have dominion over everything that comes against you, everything that does not belong to this eternal kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus told us to pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants the principles of this spiritual heavenly kingdom that is eternal to be seen prophetically in the lives of those who belong to him here on earth, in our lives and in other believers. So he has given us his spirit to make that possible. And he says to us, in effect, I want you to manifest my heavenly rule and reign on earth. In other words, you are to live the life of this spiritual kingdom here on earth. Now, we can only do that in a limited way because of the limitations of our flesh. Actually, Jesus could only do it in a limited way. He could only be in one place at one time while he was here on earth. Now he is everywhere present. He had to limit himself in becoming man, in accepting the weakness and the limitations of our humanity. So within those limitations, he could show us something of what this spiritual kingdom is like, the principles that glorify God. We've been talking these last few weeks about what it really means to please God, that the reason why he has saved us is not to go to heaven, but to please him here on earth and to please him by living the life of this heavenly kingdom here on earth. Now, because he has been raised far above all these principalities and powers, he can rule and reign wherever he chooses. Now, how has he determined to work that out? He will rule and reign through any who belong to his rule and reign here on earth. So that's our responsibility. We are to manifest the rule and the reign of God in our lives. So that means that I trust you're all still working through the Lord's orchard, because that speaks of the lifestyle of this kingdom, the different qualities of that lifestyle that God wants to see reproduced in every single one of his children here on earth, on all those who belong to him. Now, I'm going to read a few verses from the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation. I'm going to read it in the Truth Version, so you needn't bother to try to follow it if you don't have it before you. But I just want you to listen. You see, the problem of the book of Revelation is this, that it is trying to describe in temporal terms what is eternal, trying to describe in earthly terms what is spiritual. And so there's a lot of imagery there. It's not that heaven is exactly as you read in the book of Revelation, because what John, who wrote it, is saying is, I saw so-and-so and so-and-so, and it was like. The only way I can describe it is to say, well, it was something like this. But he's trying to describe the indescribable. So, you know, we can only understand another kingdom within the limitations of our thinking, of our human thinking. But I'm sure that when we actually experience heaven, it'll be very, very different from any concepts that we might have here and now. It'll be even more wonderful. But just listen to this. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the city's street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 fruit kinds of fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. No longer will any curse exist, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will look upon his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. The night shall no longer exist, and they shall have no need of the light from lamps or the sun, because the Lord God will shed his light on them, and they shall reign forever and ever. It's all light, and the light comes from God himself. There is no light, there's no need of sun, there is no darkness. Now, the phrase that we're going to focus on this morning, and this is why God is wanting us to understand some things about heaven, is this phrase, no longer will any curse exist. Now, the difference, or one of the differences between this spiritual realm, this heavenly realm, and this earthly, this temporal realm, is that here we experience curse. In heaven, there's no curse. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, it says he became a curse for us. The scripture says, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. He was cursed. He allowed himself to be cursed. He allowed himself to become a curse. Why? In order to deliver us from all curse. Part of the way in which we are to rule and reign here on earth as those who belong to this spiritual kingdom is that we exercise authority over everything that would curse us. Now, I hear that last Sunday you had a wonderful time of healing. Sickness is a curse. It is not God's will for his people. Sin is a curse. It is not God's will for his people. Anything that is not God's will is a curse. Now, we think of people putting curses on others, a demonic activity. It's a demonic activity because the devil wants to curse people. He is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All those are curses. But we don't want to think that curse is simply somebody being demonized. You can speak curse over your own life when you speak words that disagree with the truth. Because if you don't speak the truth, you speak what is deception. And if it's deception, that is a curse. There's no deception in heaven because there's no curse in heaven. There's only truth in heaven. There's no darkness. There's only light. Everything is light. Because Jesus has won the victory over all darkness when he came to the earth. And as you read John's gospel, that is what becomes so obvious, even in the opening chapters, that light has come into the world. The darkness didn't want the light because people wanted to hold on to their evil deeds of darkness. But the light came, and the light has shone, and the light has overcome the darkness, even though the darkness did not always receive him. So, we belong to the light. We are the children of light. We are the sons of light. And God doesn't want any darkness in our lives, which is why if we do sin, if we do grieve the Lord, if we do anything that displeases him, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because then we are restored to the light. The darkness disappears. You can't see it disappears because this is a spiritual reality. And we're talking about this spiritual kingdom being exercised in our lives now. So when there is that forgiveness, what you experience is that you no longer feel guilty. You might have known still what it was that you did, but you don't feel guilty about it because the sin has been forgiven and therefore the guilt is removed. That is the outworking of a power of God, a spiritual power. It's part of the working of the Holy Spirit because of the victory of the blood of Jesus in your life. But you can speak curse over your life. You can speak sickness over your life. You can speak sin. You can speak disobedience. You can speak all kinds of things that are a contradiction to the Word of God. And when you do that, you curse yourself. You curse other people when you speak negatively of other people, when you judge them, when you criticize them. You curse yourself when you take offense instead of forgiving, as God says. You curse yourself when you judge, because God says, "You do not judge. If you do judge, then you shall be judged with the same judgment with which you judge others." In other words, Jesus died to save us from the judgment we deserve. He died to save us from the curse of judgment. But if you judge others, you place yourself back under that curse. So then, of course, you need to ask God to forgive you for judging others so that, again, you are cleansed by the power of the blood, and that darkness of judging others, of taking offense when others judge you or do something towards you, that darkness is removed. But we have to keep in the light, keep walking in the light. The scripture is clear about that. We walk in the light as the children of light. We are not going to allow any darkness into our lives, any darkness to actually mar the image of Jesus. Now, what David was saying in that verse that we read at the very beginning is he knows that when he awakes in the glory, he will be like Jesus. And we know that by the Spirit, God is transforming us now into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. Now, the great thing that we need to understand is because of this victory that Jesus has won on the cross, we have authority over everything that would curse us or even curse others. But we have to exercise that spiritual authority that God has been speaking to us about recently in order to break the power of that which is sent to curse us. Now, those curses can come from the enemy. Those curses can come from sometimes sources we don't even know or recognize. They can come through other people, but the things that they say about us, the things that they do to us, they can curse us. We can invoke curses upon ourselves unwittingly, unintentionally, but nevertheless, that's what we do. So it's silly, really, isn't it, for us to put up with any curse in our lives when Jesus has died on the cross in order to set us free. He has become a curse to set us free from everything that curses us, and he has made it possible for us to be part of this spiritual heavenly kingdom where there is no curse. So, you have to exercise your spiritual authority. Now, when we look to God for healing, we put our faith in what Jesus has done on the cross. But you see, what he did on the cross was not only to take our sicknesses and infirmities upon himself, but he broke the power of the enemy. He broke the power that curses us. And sometimes, when we're in situations not only of sickness but other problems too, we need to exercise that authority to break that which is cursing us and to break the power of curse over other people's lives. This is one form of what Jesus says, speak to the mountain. Because the mountain is always something that causes curse in a people's life. If it was blessing, you wouldn't want to remove it. But what does the Lord say? I set before you blessing and curse. There's nothing in between. I set before you blessing and curse. Choose blessing, therefore, that you might live. Don't curse yourself. Don't curse others. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to be open for the enemy to bring curse into your life. Give no opportunity to the devil, the word says. But rise up with faith, exercise your authority to break the power of everything that comes against you to curse you. Do we have any believers in the room this morning? See, this is a further extension of what God has been talking to us about, exercising that authority to persevere in prayer, to overcome the enemy. But part of that exercising of authority is to break the power of curse. Cancer is a curse. Now, what the scripture says is whatever you bless is blessed, and whatever you curse is cursed. Now, let me make it clear, you are not to curse people. Even the people that may curse you, you don't curse them. You forgive them. You love your enemies. You don't curse your enemies. But what you do is to curse that which has come against you. Not the person, but that whatever it is. So we can curse cancer. Now, what's the significance of that? Do you remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem sees this fig tree and there's no fruit? What did he do? He cursed it. What happened as a curse? It shriveled up. You curse a cancer tumor and it shrivels up. Because you see, you have brought the power of God against something that is causing curse in your life or in somebody else's life. So we want to exercise the authority God has given us. So we could pray, oh Lord, cause this cancer tumor to shrivel up. And I think God says to us, well, why don't you curse it? Because I've given you the authority to bless, I've given you the authority to curse. If you curse it, it will shrivel up. Now, Jesus does say that when we speak to the mountain, we must believe in our hearts that it will be moved. So if you speak curse over a cancer tumor, I'm just using this as an example. If you speak curse over a cancer tumor, then and you believe in your heart, that will shrivel up because I've cursed it in the name of Jesus. Then what will happen? The tumor will shrivel up. You didn't do it. It was the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name that is higher than the name of cancer. The one who has won the victory over all infirmity has given you the authority to bless and to curse. He's actually given you the authority to forgive and not to forgive. He's given you all kinds of authority in Scripture. But this morning, he wants you to understand your citizenship. Listen, listen. Your citizenship already, according to the Word of God, is in heaven. You might have a British passport, but your citizenship is in heaven. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because your citizenship is in heaven. So you can bring the authority and the power and the victory of heaven where there is no curse here on the earth. And you have the authority in the name of Jesus, the authority given you by the Word of God and substantiated by the outworking of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have the authority to prevent what God does not desire. This is why Jesus says that, you know, you have whatever you bind on earth. Now, the Greek word there means prevent. Whatever you prevent on earth, whatever is prevented in heaven, you can prevent on earth. It doesn't mean it's a very, it's a, actually, it's quite a difficult Greek passage to translate, but people often think if I prevent it here on earth, then it will be prevented in heaven. No. The truth of that passage is the other way around. Anything that heaven does not prevent, we have the authority to prevent here on earth. Anything that heaven has released, we have the authority to release here on earth. So if we release it now, it's because it is already released in heaven. That's what the scripture literally means. So don't think that sort of heaven is waiting to releasing. No. All the victory has already been won by Jesus. So if heaven doesn't prevent anything, we can prevent it here on earth. And if heaven has released something, we can release it here on earth. Heaven has released that healing power, as you saw last week, so we can release healing power here on earth. But heaven has broken the power of curse. There's no curse there in heaven. Hallelujah. And when this earth passes away and the new order is established, there will be no more curse. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So we will be able to enjoy God in heaven without any curse. But meanwhile, we battle here, we fight the good fight of faith, and part of that fight is to overcome anything and everything that would bring curse in our lives and in the lives of others for whom we pray. Now, we don't talk about this all the time, but it's part of our spiritual armory. You see, we have the spiritual weapons that belong to the spiritual kingdom. You see, we have the spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? Stronghold of the enemy is something that curses. Something in a person's life that is cursing them. It's not a question of, oh, has somebody put a curse upon me? Look, curses are easy to break. See, if you believe what I'm saying to you this morning, if you believe what the scripture is saying, you will understand that curses are easy to break because Jesus has already broken their power through what he has done on the cross. And in his name, we have the authority to break those curses. Now, this is not a mantra. I break this curse in the name of Jesus. Right? We're talking about faith. Jesus says, when you speak to the mountain, you must believe in your heart. You believe, right, this, whatever it is, might be sickness, might be something else. This has been sent to curse me. I'm breaking the power of that curse. I am refusing to live under that curse for a moment longer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became a curse that I might be set free from every curse. Now, of course, it's also pretty evident, isn't it, that if we're to break and be effective in breaking the power of curse over our lives and others for whom we pray, we must not speak curse. We must be careful that we don't speak curse over our lives or over other people's lives. You see, we can't speak curse one moment and then be breaking curses the next moment. There's got to be a consistency here, right? So what we see in the life of Jesus is the way he broke curse. He didn't use a formula, I break this curse. But he spoke with authority in such a way that he believed that that which was cursing a person would immediately be broken, and they would be set free. So you see this on several occasions when Jesus healed people. He just spoke with authority. But what he was doing was two things. He was breaking the power of the curse, and he was invoking the power of the Spirit to come and produce the healing. Sometimes people keep praying for the healing, but without exercising authority over the curse. And very often both things are needed. And that's why you find some situations that seem to persist and persist and persist. Doesn't matter how much you pray, how much you invoke the power of God, it seems that they go on and on and on. And it's because, you see, authority has not been taken over the mountain. It's because there hasn't been the faith. This thing just will not be allowed to curse me any longer. Amen. There's a kind of a determination. Almost, you know, you sort of rise up in indignation that the enemy would even dare to suggest that I'm going to live under the curse of this thing for another day. When Jesus, in whom I live and who lives in me, died on the cross to free me from every curse. I'm not going to live under anything that would curse me. It's called faith. But you see, faith isn't a weak, feeble thing. Faith is something strong. Faith is power. Releases power. That's why Jesus says, your faith has made you well. But faith has to be exercised. It's not just a question of believing this is what God can do, but of actually taking hold of what he's done and making it a reality in our situation. And not only is this true for us personally, but it's also true for us corporately. The enemy is opposed to kingdom faith. Of course he is. He is opposed to any and every church. What we don't want is to allow him to have any influence in this church. And that means in the members of this church. And we don't want him to succeed in anything that would curse this congregation so that it cannot fulfill the destiny of God. So we can rise up in indignation against any attempt that he has to restrict or to limit the purposes of God in this place. We're just not going to allow it. It's as simple as that. We have that authority. If we don't allow it, it can't happen. That's the authority Jesus says he's given us. It's the same in your personal life. It's the same at the corporate level. We are just not going to allow anything that would bring curse into our lives. Why? Because we belong to the heavenly kingdom. Why? Because we belong to a spiritual kingdom. And that spiritual kingdom is greater than this natural kingdom. The spiritual order is greater than the natural order. When Paul's talking about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, which you'll find in a couple of weeks when you get there, he says the natural comes first and then the spiritual. The natural body and then the spiritual body. I'm not going to get into all of that this morning because we just need to focus on this victory. You see, what God is talking to us about week by week in different ways at present is how to live in the victory that Jesus has already won for us on the cross. This is why this isn't a low Sunday, it's a high Sunday. And you know, even when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the 40 days of the resurrection appearances, he was longing to go back to the Father. He was longing to be restored into heavenly places. And Paul at one time, you remember, he's talking, he's in prison and things in the natural are not going well, but he's still rejoicing in the Lord always. He's the man of faith. And he says, I've got two options. One part of me would far rather go to be with the Lord. I'd like to get out of all the pressure, of all the opposition, and all the things that are being sent against me to curse me and to try to restrict and hinder my ministry. I'd much prefer to get out of it and just go to be with the Lord. The other alternative is to stay here in order that I might be a blessing to you and to minister to you and to be an instrument of the truth into your lives. And you see, out of his love, he said, well, I'll choose the second. I'll choose to stay as long as God puts me here in order that I might be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? That the reason we live as Christians, the reason you live as Christian is to bless others. And in blessing others, you bless God. You can't bless God without blessing others. So you live to bless others, and in living to bless others, you bless God. Hallelujah. So you can't live to bless others by cursing them. So you're not going to do anything or say anything or oppose them or speak about them or anything in a way that will curse them or cause them problems. You want to bless them. So even when they do things to you, you bless in return. You don't retaliate curse for curse. You bless. You bless those who curse you, according to my Bible. You bless those who curse you. Why? Because you live a life of blessing. And of course, the more you live the life of blessing, the less opportunities you have to be cursed. And the more vigilant you are when the enemy tries to do that, you take that shield of faith with which you quench all the fiery darts that the enemy intended to curse you. You resist the devil. When you submit yourself to God, you resist the devil and he flees from you. While he's fleeing from you, he can't curse you. So you stay in this position of being submitted to God. You stay in this position of resisting him, of taking the shield of faith. And he flees. Now, just before we finish, let me talk about curses. Specific curses that are invoked upon people, upon families. Sometimes you hear people talk about generational curses. Do they exist? Yes, they do, actually. They do exist. You don't need to go overboard about all this, but they do exist. And you can see, there was one situation, for example, that I was involved in some time ago where there were successive generations in a family where there had been suicide. Every generation, people had been committing suicide. It was a curse. Once that curse was broken, the suicide stopped. You see, you just have to recognize this is not something natural. This is something demonic. Right? So situations like that can occur. In which case, we don't need to be afraid because we have the authority to break the power of curse. Amen? So we're fearless. Because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind, right thinking. So you are going to be a blessing to others. I'll try that again. You are going to be a blessing to others. Which means that you're going to be careful about the way you use these things. This thing. You're not going to speak curse over anybody's life. Inadvertently. It's not that I choose to curse. No. You just speak negatively, you speak judgment, you speak whatever, and you're cursing them. So stop it. Right? We don't do that. Because we live to bless, not to curse. And where people have cursed us, we forgive the people and we reject the curse. And we break the power of the curse. So this is going to be a high Sunday. Because what we're going to do now is break curses. Amen. When you came in this morning, you had the authority to do that. Now you're going to use it. If you're a Christian, you've got the authority to do it. You don't need somebody to do it for, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. No. The scripture says you need to submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. You have the power to bless. You have the power to break curses. So let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. This is good. I said this is good. I mean, this is very good, because isn't it good to know that you're going to get victory even before you start? So I want you, first of all, just to praise God that you belong to the spiritual kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank him that your citizenship is in heaven, that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, who is far above. He's not just above. He's far above all principalities and powers, all the spiritual powers of darkness. He is far above them. So thank the Lord that because you're in him, seated in him, you are far above them. This isn't a battle. This isn't a fight. Right? There's no fight. This is just establishing the victory. Hallelujah. Because you are far above all these things that have been sent to curse you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Thank you that you have given us the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Thank you that you have given us the authority to speak to mountains and command them to be moved, and they shall be moved and thrown into the sea, where they will no longer be able to curse anyone. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Korata parazar. Come on, just praise him for a moment. Korata paria leto bakalasita di sandam. O pazarabaria leto bakalasita. Now, if you believe that anybody has cursed you or spoken curse or opposed you or hurt you or caused you offense or whatever, right, before you do anything else, forgive them. Just make sure you've forgiven them. Remember, we're not cursing people. We can break the power of things that have cursed us through other people or through the enemy. But we don't curse the people. We bless the people. Maybe people have defrauded you, cheated you. Any number of ways in which curse can come into our lives. But forgive those who have been the instruments of those curses. Pray for them, the scripture says. Bless them. Don't join them in the cursing game. Bless them. Even if there are other believers. Sadly, other believers can curse you. They might not intend that. They might not understand that's what they're doing. But you experience the effect of the curse. Perhaps you can't sleep at night. Perhaps there's fear and worry and anxiety and all kinds of stuff. Well, forgive those that have caused it. That's so important. Pray for them now. But now you take authority. Now you're going to break the power of curse. Are you ready? You do this in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. You do it through the power of the cross, through the power of the blood that was shed by Jesus, because when he shed that blood, he broke the power of every curse. Now, when you break curses, you don't speak in tongues. You speak in your own language. You don't pray long prayers. You just believe. Right? If it's a cancer, I curse this cancer now in the name of Jesus. And I proclaim the victory of the blood of Jesus over that disease. So we're all going to speak aloud now, because you can't do this just by thinking, right? But we're all going to speak together, so nobody's listening to anybody else. You're just cursing whatever you need to curse right now. Be specific. Curses don't get broken by being vague. It's no use saying, I break the power of anything that curses me. Be specific about what it is that has been broken off of your life. Some of you have been living under oppression. You break the power of oppression. Some of you have been depressed. That's a curse. You break the curse of that depression over your life. Whatever it may be. Then we'll pray for further healing. But right now, are you ready? I'm going to count to three, and then we all speak out loud. One, two, three. I break the curse in the name. It doesn't take long to curse. Now pray the blessing. Now take hold of the healing or whatever it is, and just replace the curse with the blessing. Yeah. Now this is when you, in the curse, you talk to the need, you talk to the mountain. Now you talk to God. That's why Jesus said, speak to the mountain, right? That's dealing with the curse. And then whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received and it will be yours. So the curse is broken, so now you can receive the healing. Now you can receive the resolution to that problem or whatever it may be that you were praying about. You were just taking authority over. Come on, call down that blessing now. Call down the blessing now. Thank you, Lord, that where before there was curse, now there's going to be blessing. Where before there was disease, now there's going to be health and wholeness. Where before there was division, now there's going to be unity. And I thank you, Lord, for that spirit of unity. That where there was division in relationships and problems in relationships, now, Lord, there's going to be peace. Where before there was contention, now there is going to be unity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I call down that blessing. I call down the blessing. Thank you, Lord, that I can exercise authority to break the power of curse, but I can also exercise the authority to bless. And I bless, I pray that blessing over my life. I pray that blessing over the lives of others for whom I pray. I pray that blessing now. I thank you, Lord, for the resolution. Hallelujah. Now, just one more thing before we finish here. Over the years, God has given me a particular faith. I don't know why, but he just has, to believe that long-term sicknesses would be healed, things that people have had for years and years and years. And I believe that's what he's doing this morning. This morning, there are people here, you've been fighting something for years and years and years and years, and it's finishing this morning. It's finishing this morning. The curse of those things is broken in the name of Jesus, and now the healing is going to take place. I want you just to lift your hands to the Lord, and I want you to pray now for that healing. These long-term conditions, totally healed in the name of Jesus. Totally healed. Totally healed. They are not going to persist. They cannot persist. The curse is broken and the blessing is received. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you pour out your blessing now upon your people here. I thank you for the healing of long-term conditions that seem to have resisted everything. No longer do they resist. Now, Lord, that healing takes place. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. There's all kinds of things that are happening. Somebody has had migraine for years and years, have been set free. There are women with internal problems, womb and so on, all those sort of women's problems. Several of you are being set free now. Now. I said now. You are being set free. That curse is broken, and the blessing of God's healing is received right now in the name of Jesus. There are people with back problems. There's somebody with the upper part of the shoulder neck area there. God is setting you free. There's all kinds of other things. Somebody else in their ears, their hearing. God, that's been getting progressively worse. Well, it's totally restored now in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Digestive problems being healed in the name of Jesus. Long-term things being healed now. I said now. I said now. I said now. I said now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're just going to praise God. But listen. He is majestic in holiness. All the worship in heaven is majestic. Just listen to these words. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Hallelujah! To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Hallelujah! You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now listen what he says about you as one who is purchased for God. This is in the exclamations of praise in heaven. You have made them, that's us, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Amen. Hallelujah! I said hallelujah! I said hallelujah! Now I want you to turn to all those around you and say, from today, I am reigning on the earth.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.